Garibosai, the hour is already late, so why don't we jump into it? Good to see you, Judd, Lonnie, Toby, Melissa, Bobby, and Zadie, and Arthur. We find ourselves on Gimel Amud Aleph 3A. Toward the top, I'd venture to say it's either at the tail end of the first page in Art Scroll or the beginning of the second one. We're starting with Amar Rav Shmuel. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. So a little bit of background while you're finding the place is that we learned previously that there is some ambiguity as to what the minimum shear, the minimum dimensions are for a sukkah. Other good word, if you don't know, write it down. Shear just means the measure, the measurement that something needs to be, like the amount of food you need to eat to be yotzei X mitzvah is a kezias. So that's the shear. Okay. There's just some background noise. I'm just going to do a general mute, but it still enable you if you need to unmute to ask a question. You should be able to do so. Okay. Welcome, Rebecca Konevsky. It's good to have you join the shir. Okay. It's all right. I recognize you.
Sorry, I didn't change. I need to
It's all right.
change. I ran program during the day, so I totally forgot.
I log into meetings on Rabbi Cohen's Zoom account because I use it for Mishnayos. So people are like, oh, Rabbi Cohen's here. Oh, no, it's Rabbi Kurtz. So happens all the time. Anyway, so there were two general schools of thought. One is that the minimum shear is 4 by 4 amos, which is a more significant measurement. That's a little bit more expansive. And then there's the shita that it is. Shiva al Shiva, the 7 by 7 tefachim, Zayin al Zayin. And what we are being told right off the bat is Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, halacha tzricha shetei machzekes rosha merubo v'shulchano, that the minimum shear for a sukkah is that it needs to be big enough to fit in, someone needs to be able to fit their head, most of their body, and apparently a very small, minimal perfunctory table in there. And that's the minimum shear for a sukkah. And that shear is code word for Shiva. Al Shiva Tfachim, Zion Al Zion Tfachim. That's 7 by 7 hand breadths, as I'm sure Art Scroll translates it. Now, the question is, who is this in accordance with? So Amarle Rabbi Abba Kaman, Kbe Shammai? Is this halacha in accordance with Kbe Shammai? Generally, we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. And if you look on the left, there's a very lengthy Tosos that goes into the whole discussion about if this is one of those places that we paskin like Beis Shammai. Amarle, but he says, Elekaman, who else can I attribute it to that if not Beis Shammai? So, all right, guys, we are going to take a field trip right now. Don't get too excited. I don't mean like a literal field trip because we're on Zoom, so naturally I'm not bringing you anywhere physical, but we're going to take a little field trip. We're going to jump into the future right now, and we're going to take a look in our Gemaras on 28a, Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. Okay? Isn't that amazing? You know, that reminds me of when I was like in second grade or something, so I was told that, all right, students, you're getting a project. And coming out of preschool just recently saying, ooh, a project, that sounds like a lot of fun. And then I found out a project turned out to be code word for homework. And that word never meant the same thing for me as a kid. So, I mean, this is hopefully a little bit more pleasant, but this is the field trip. I can't bring you to Morocco, but I could bring you to 28A in your Gemara. So that's something. So the Mishnah says we're going to have to learn at least the first part is Mishnah because our Gemara is going to be constantly referring to this Mishnah throughout. So it's critical. Put a bookmark, stick something in here. We're going to be flipping back to 28A throughout. So everyone found the Mishnah. We're good to go toward the bottom. Okay. The Mishnah says, Mishahaya Rosho Verubo Basukah, Ushokhano Basokha. If someone's head and most of his body is inside the sukkah, but his table is inside the house. Beis Shammai posen and Beis Hillel machshiren. Beis Shammai says that's not enough. It needs to have the table inside as well. Whereas Beis Hillel says accommodating Rosho Berubo, one's head and most of his body is sufficient. Amar lan beis hillel beis shammai, beis hillel said to beis shammai, we'll prove it to you. Lokachol ye maisa shaholchu zikni beis shammai, u zikni beis hillel levaker is Rav Yochanan ben Hachuranes, u matzu she yoshiv rosha rubu sukkah shulchan b'sukkah bais, lo amar lo davar. Did they all the elders from both of our political parties, went to visit Rav Yochanan ben Hachuranes, and they saw that he was sitting in a sukkah, and his table was inside the house, and they didn't say anything. And by being quiet, we apply the age-old adage of shtika kahuda, that their silence implied that they were okay with what was happening. So Amar lo, Beis Shammai responds, Davar Amar lehem. Sorry, I skipped a line. Davar lo davar. Amar lehem Beis Shammai. Misham raya avhem amar lo. So imkain hayisa noheg lo kayemes mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. They said to him, if this is how you've been sitting in the sukkah all of your life, then I'm sorry to tell you, I got bad news. You've never fulfilled the mitzvah sukkah all of your life if your table is inside the house and not inside the sukkah. So what is so bad about the table being inside one's house? The issue is Shemi Yamashich Acher Shulchano, that if your table's inside your house, and what's going to happen is, even if you're under the sukkah, you're going to start scooting down the table and more guests come. And before you know it, you're sitting under your roof of the house and not under the skach of your sukkah. Okay? Mishnah, more or less straightforward. Beis Shammai, classically, is more machmir, has to accommodate the shulchan. And Beis Hillel says it doesn't have to accommodate the shulchan. That's it. Okay? Now, with this Mishnah in mind, Rabosai, we can now understand what's going on over here. We just learned, Rav Shmuel Bar Yisrael told us that the halacha is that a sukkah, the minimum dimensions, is that it has the capacity to hold rosho, rubo, shulchano. It has to be able not just to accommodate me, but accommodate a table as well. So, and it makes sense, because if one of the main things we're supposed to do in a sukkah is to eat, if it can't accommodate me with a table that I can put my food on, then there's something deficient inherently within the dimensions of the sukkah. I think that's the pshat. So now we can ask the question, who is this in accordance with? Well, now it's very easy for us because we just saw it. Amar lei Rabbi Abba, come on. Beis Shammai? Is it true you paskin like Beis Shammai? Amar lei Eli, come on. Who else do you think I'm paskin like? Indeed, if you look at the Mishnah on Chav Ches Amin Aleph, it's Beis Shammai who espouses that position. Igan Amri, another way the conversation may have gone down. Amarle, Rabbi Abba, to Amarlach money. Amarle, Beis Shammai, evil, sazuz minam. So who told you this? It was Beis Shammai. And don't deviate from what he said, from what they said. Beis Shammai got it right on this map. So again, you look at that very lengthy Tosas on the left. We'll glance at it soon. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but Tosas reckons with, how is it possible that we could possibly be Shammai over here when generally that's against the rules? Anyway, leave that detail aside. What the Gemara right now is assuming is that the machlokus. So this, we're going to do something like we did last. What we did last, we have a machlokus, but we're going to have a machlokus in how to understand the machlokus. Okay. So currently, from the Mishnah, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are debating whether the sukkah needs to accommodate a table. There's two potential things that they are arguing about. One potential debate is about the shear of the sukkah. Does the sukkah need to be 7x7 tefachim to accommodate a table as well? Or can it be smaller than 7x7 tefachim, like Beis Hillel says, because it doesn't need to accommodate a table? So maybe the debate about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is about the minimal dimensions of the sukkah. That's how the Gemara is construing the machlokis right now. However, another way to understand their machlokis is that they both agree the minimal dimensions for a sukkah, perhaps, is 7x7 tefachim. But what are they arguing about? Their debate might have to do with a sukkah that's, you know, 30x30 avos big. It's a huge sukkah. But what's their debate? If you happen to set up shop at the entrance to that sukkah and your table is inside the house, so then that's where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are debating. But they're not debating about the minimal dimensions of a sukkah. Maybe even Beis Hillel could concede that the minimum dimensions need to be at least Zayin al Zayin, 7 by 7 tefachim. And that's precisely what the Gemara is going to argue right now. Maskivla Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Mimai de Beis Shammai, who's to say that the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is regarding what the minimal size of a sukkah is? Dilma besukkah gedola pligi. That maybe their debate has nothing to do with the minimal dimensions. It can even apply to a huge sukkah. And what's their debate? I'm sitting at the entrance of the sukkah, and my table's inside the house. The Beis Shammai Sabri, Gazrin Shammai. Maybe their whole debate is, did the Rabbanan introduce a new gezeira, a new parameter, a new requirement that you're not allowed to have the table inside the house or extending into the house because Shemi Yamashi Rach Shulchanu. Beis Shammai, of course, were stringent and they held it was instituted. Beis Hillel disagreed and said that this was never actually legislated. And now, how do I see this in the language of the Mishnah? Udekanami diktani, because what does it say in the Mishnah? You can either look in the Gemara right here, or we could also glance back at the actual Mishnah itself that it's quoting from. What does it say at the beginning of the Mishnah on Chav Chesem and Aleph? Mishahaya Rosh Vesukah Ushulchano Besoch Habayis Beishame Poslin Ubeis Hillel. So someone who was in someone who whose shulchan happened to be inside the house, Beis Shammai says it's problematic, Beis Hillel says it's kosher. Then Esau, and if this is true, that it's all about the dimensions, they're arguing about the minimal size, the language should have been machzekis mivayle. Right? It says someone who happens to be in a sukkah and has his table there, nothing wrong with the sukkah per se, it's his setup, it's the way he set himself up in the sukkah that is problematic. And we see that from the language of the Mishnah. Because if the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was regarding the minimal size of a sukkah, it should use the word machzekes, which tells us the capacity of the sukkah. But the language would suggest that it's a kosher sukkah inherently, but the issue is how you are setting up shop inside the sukkah. However, the Gemara retorts, is that really a good read of the Mishnah? With sukkah ketana lo pligi, is the debate in the Mishnah really not about the minimal size? Well, the issue is that we have conflicting opinions between two brisos, which would suggest Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel actually are debating the minimal size. And here they are. Vatanya, machzeges rosho verubo shulchano kishera, Rebbe Omer achehi ba'arba amos ha'arba amos. Ignore Rebbe's opinion for now, but the point is the anonymous opinion, the Tana Kama, in the first brisa says that it needs to accommodate the shulchan as well. However, Tanya Yidach, but we have another brisa, Rebbe Omer kolzogish eva arba amos ha'arba amos psula. Again, Rebbe espouses the belief that a sukkah needs to be 4 by 4 amos, which is significantly bigger. The Chachamim, again, the anonymous Chachamim, afila enamachzekes ela rosho verubo kishera. Now it sounds like the same debate, but if you'll notice over here, yilushulchano lo ketani kashina adadi. So we have an issue here because in the second brisa, that what the Chachamim only say it has to be able to hold rosho verubo, the most of the person and his head, but they omit the magic word shulchano. So even in the opinion, even within the school of thought that believes that sukkah doesn't need to be 4 by 4 amos like Rebbe holds, there seems to be still an inconsistency of whether the accommodating the shulchan in the minimal capacity is required. What does that suggest? Ela lashmamina habeis Shammai habeis Hillel. This inconsistency in the opinion of the Chachamim is actually because the Chachamim in one brace are taking Beis Hillel's position that the sukkah does not need to accommodate the shulchan, and the ones who say shulchano is included are of the school of thought of Beis Shammai and Amar Mar Zutra. And if you just think that's a coincidence, maybe a word was left out, Masnisa Nami Deka. If you actually look back on Chafetz Amar Av, the Mishnah we saw at the beginning of this year, you'll notice that the language of the Mishnah may even lend itself to that reading. Midiktani, Beis Shammai Posen, Beis Shammai Makshir, because what's the language that's used? It doesn't say, Beis Shammai Yitzchak don't say, you're Yotze or you're not Yotze. They say Psulin or Poslin or Machshirin. The term Puzzler, remember from our first year? What is Puzzler? Remember we said a Sukkah that's over 20 hours is Puzzle. That means that the dimensions are inherently problematic. So when Besom and Shammai are arguing about the kashrus of the Sukkah, that sounds like they're debating the minimal dimensions. They're not debating about whether I was knowing, whether I conducted myself properly in the Sukkah. It's about the actual dimensions of the Sukkah, the sheer Sukkah. Bim Isa, Beshamay Omrim, Lo Yatza, Bisol Omrim, Yatza Mivayle. So it should have said Yotza or not Yatza. That's what it should have said if it's not about the dimensions. However, the Gemara retorts, but still, Felakasha, Mishahaya. But again, if you read the beginning of the Mishnah, as is Mishahaya, it sounds like it's about the guy's conduct. So the issue is that both of these readings are compelling. Some of the language from the Mishnah suggests that it's a debate about the capacity of the Sukkah. Some of the language in the Mishnah suggests that it's not about the capacity, but it's about how I'm setting up shop in the Sukkah, how I'm conducting myself. So what do I do with this contradiction? Well, the Gemara says, Shalom al Yisrael. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, these and these are the words of the living. La'olam betarte pligi. Really, Beis Shammai Sila are arguing on two distinct levels. Both of these are true. You're both right. Pligi b'sukkah katana, u'pligi b'sukkah gadola. They have a machlokis regarding the minimal shear of a sukkah, and they have a machlokis also even about a larger sukkah. V'chasuri mechzerach yitani. So what we need to do is what we do all the time, we have to fill in some words in between the lines that are missing from our Mishnah. And here is how you should read our Mishnah. This is basically like Chazal, they didn't have art scroll back then, that gives you all like the between the lines words that aren't in the bold, right? Like the lighter font. So now Chazal are going to add in that lighter font. They're doing art scroll for us right now. So this is how you read the Mishnah. If we're in a fully legitimate sukkah, but while someone's inside the sukkah, he happens to have his table extending into the house, they debate whether you're yotze in such a situation. And then the second level debate is, and let's say the sukkah is not even large enough to accommodate a person and a table. Likewise, they still disagree there about the minimal shear. So they're arguing at both levels. They argue about the minimal shear of a sukkah, and they also have a debate about how one is nohig inside the sukkah if there are tables inside the bayis, inside the house. And so, interestingly, as we stated at the beginning of the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak told us that the halacha is actually in accordance with Beis Shammai on this matter. That we passed in the minimal shear for a sukkah is Zayin al Zayin Tfachim, 7 by 7 Tfachim. So we actually, this is very fascinating that it would appear that we passed in like Beis Shammai, at least regarding the minimal shear for a sukkah, though I think there's some debate about whether we accept Beis Shammai regarding the issue of a large sukkah with a table that's inside the house, maybe we possibly be so possibly. Okay, let me pause for a moment. I know that was like a long stretch over there. Paul.
Can you be Yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah without eating in the sukkah? If so, then who needs the table?
So Yotzei is a very interesting question. We have, so basically, this is a great question. And, you know, later in the Masechta, we're going to be, you know, as we go forward, we're going to be talking about being Mekai in the mitzvah of Sukkah. How one's Mekai. Right now, we're spending so much time on the construction of the Sukkah. And trust me, we got our work cut out for us on that. But just to answer your question, similar to Pesach, which is our holiday coming up, and I hate to inform you, Sorry to be that guy. I'm sure you're aware already without me. And if you don't know, then you better start knowing. There's a chiyuv to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. But regarding eating matzah the rest of the days of Pesach, there's a lot of lumpness about it. Maybe there's like a nice kiyum, but there's certainly no obligation to eat matzah the rest of Pesach. Similarly, when it comes to sukkahs, I have an obligation to eat in the sukkah on the first night. And also, by the way, I have an obligation to, sleep in the sukkah as well. Happens to be we found different heterim around it, either because of the weather or if someone is married, so then they're leaving their spouse alone in the house. There's different heterim that we've come up with over the course of the years. But on the point being is, there's an obligation to go out of your way to eat in a sukkah on the first night. The rest of Yontif is only if you want to have mizonos, if you want to have a meal. Then the way that we're matur you, the way we permit you to have a meal on sukkahs is by eating in the sukkah. It's a matir as opposed to a mitzvah at that point. So did I get to your question, or is there still something stone left unturned?
I was trying to ask. I asked the question in light of the issue of whether or not you need the table. I mean, if you don't have to eat, then that can be an argument. Right. You don't need space for a table.
Yeah, so I think there's some who hold to have the table in the sukkah, like you should actually dafka, not just like it should hold the table, but there should be a table in there. If I recall correctly, there's a discussion, maybe it's in the Mishnah Brura. I think the Chafetz Chaim talks about, what do you do for sleeping? Can you take the table out, accommodating a bed? I think there's a debate actually about that particular detail. I didn't prepare the Makoros on that, but my recollection is that there's a whole debate about what do I do with the obligation vis-a-vis sleeping in the sukkah? 100% correct. And I'll try to, let me make a note actually. Okay, I'm making a note, leave that there. I'll try to put together the Makoros on there because that is a discussion in the postgame, if you recall.
Moshe?
Yes, Zadie.
I got a problem. And the problem is, what's the purpose of having a sukkah in the first place? My understanding is that we're supposed to replicate our experience of 40 years in the desert by living in a sukkah, which approximates what they did in the desert. And what good is a sukkah if you can only get your part of your body in there? What good is a sukkah if you can only get a minimal table in there? It would seem to me that if you're going to live in the sukkah, you have to live in the sukkah. I'm not sure it's safe in this neighborhood to be sleeping in a sukkah because there are certain two-legged wild animals running around loose. But I just don't understand the machlokas.
So actually, I think, if I may, I think your question might relate to the next section of Gemara. Because the next section of Gemara, we're going to ask the following question. In Kol HaTorah Kula, whenever we talk about, whenever there's a halakha, and I don't need to give you examples, because Gemara is literally about to give us examples. Whenever there's a halakha that pertains to a bias to a house, the definition of a house is 4x4 amos. So the question is, why is it, because 4x4 amos is the minimal amount of space that someone needs to live on a minimal level. So the question is, why when it comes to sukkah, is the bar lowered? And why is it stand in contrast to the basic needs of a bais throughout the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula? So let's actually just jump into the Gemara right now, Zadie, and you'll let me know at the end if it addresses your point to some degree. Okay?
Okay. Right.
Okay. So here we go. Man Tana, Lahav Tana Rabbanan. So we're going to try to figure out. Remember, we had cited this in the Bryce earlier, that there's a debate between Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and the Chachamim whether the minimal size of a sukkah needs to be 4x4 amos or Rosh Ovaruba or / Rosh Ovaruba v'shulchanah. So how do I make sense of this? So here we go. Who holds the following? To Tanu Rabbanan, Bais she'imbo arba amos arba amos. If you have a house that doesn't meet the minimal dimensions of 4x4 amos, it's going to be exempt or puzzle from doing a lot of things that a house could do in halacha. Number one, pater min hamezuzah. It's exempt. You don't have to put a mezuzah up on it. Not only can't you, if you make a bracha on it, and you probably made a bracha levatola. So again, this is very relevant for rooms inside a house. We talked about this last week with walk-in closets and other rooms that don't necessarily meet the shear for dalet al dalet amos, for 4x4 amos. And then we ask the question, well, what if they have the square footage of 4x4 amos, but it's a long, thin room? It's not distributed that way. So we discussed that. Umin hamake. Make is that you have to put a railing on top of your roof. They have flat roofs. So if you have a house that's the minimal dimensions, you have an obligation to put some sort of fencing on the roof, lest someone fall off. The Einamatai Benugayin, we talk about all the time about humans getting tsaras, but there's something called a Bais Hamanuga, which debatable if it ever happened. The Gemara Sanhedrin talks about that. But a house, in theory, could only be infected with tsaras if it's a Bais, if it's a house, 4x4 amos. We actually, this is a throwback to Megillah. Remember Maseches Megillah, we talk about walled cities. And we were talking about walled cities for Megillah purposes. We also talk about walled cities for real estate purposes. And we said a house that's in a walled city, Rashi actually spells it out for us, I believe. I believe Rashi spelled it out for us. I thought he did. Yeah, Beno Nechlat. So when it comes to a house in a walled city, you have up to a year to redeem it. Otherwise, if it's not, doesn't have the dimensions of a house, then it's not subject to that 1 year requirement. It could be redeemed at any time. So a house that's not dala dala amos is not a house according to halacha, and would not be subject to those parameters. Likewise, if a house is not 4x4 amos, it's not a house. And therefore, when it says in Parsha Shoftim that someone who builds a new house, they could leave the ranks of war to go home to celebrate their new house, well, it has to be at least 4x4 amos in order for it to constitute a house. And then the ima arvin bo, the mishtakin bo, the manichin bo erev. It doesn't have to join in for an erev chatzer, as we talked about this the first week. They don't have to contribute bread in order to join in for the erev chatzeros. They don't need to join in for the shitit muvos to laugh for carrying. It's like they don't even exist. And likewise, since such a minimal structure, the resident would not be required to contribute for the erev. Likewise, you can't place the Erev in his structure because it needs to be placed in a house. And for the same reason, he's not required to contribute. He's also not able to house the Erev Chatzeros or the Sheets of Muvos inside there. Was that clear? Should I rehash some of that? Or good? Okay. Vein also, so Eber Ben Shtei Ayaros, when it comes to Hilchos Tchumen, I think I have a good picture. Oh, I don't have a Sifta Gemara with me. Maybe does Art Scroll give a diagram for this one? Like two cities there's laws of Tchumen that you're not supposed to go, at least on a Durabana level, you're not supposed to go 2,000 amos beyond the city limits. But if you have a house between two cities with a certain amount of distance, what is it, 70? I think Rashi spells it out. What is it, Karfe? Shivim Amma Vishirayim. All right, so they're more precise numbers somewhere. But basically, 70 amos and a little bit, maybe it's one third or two thirds. So basically, if you put a structure between these two cities, you can combine those cities, and then they have a super radius for their tchumen, right? So instead of this city having its own radius for the tchum Shabbos, and this city having its own radius for the tchum Shabbos, you have this little structure in the middle. It can fuse them into one large city area, which then makes one huge Chum Shabbos surrounding everything. Now, the minimal size for such a structure would need to be, again, dalet al dalet amos. It needs to be 4x4 amos for it to be a structure for those purposes. And then finally, the Gemara will elaborate on this. When it comes to inheritance law, because it's so small, we don't split up such a structure because it's you're not going to be left with really anything. So, who would be the Tana of this Brisa? Who would we assume? Well, Lema Rabbi Yehuda Rabban. This Brisa sounds like it's in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. What's Rabbi say? Rabbi says, just like in Hilchos Sukkah, you need Dalet al Dalet Amos. Why? 4x4 Amos. Well, just like in Klal Torah Kula, you need 4x4 Amos. And it seems to not be in accordance with what we paskin according to Chachamim, who paskin like Beis Shammai, that it only needs to be 7x7 Tfachim. However, the Gemara says, no, Afilu Tema Rabbanim. This can even work in accordance with the Rabbanim, who say that Sukkah only needs to accommodate Rosh HaGruba V'Shulchano, most of your body, your head, and a table. Aye. Why would Sukkah be different than Kol HaTorah Kula, in which we require 4x4 Amos? So the answer is, Adkan Lo Kami Rabbanon, Elitinyan Sukkah Dir Sarayi. Coming back to an important point we raised earlier, because Sukkah is a temporary dwelling, right, Zadie? Avalagave Bias, the Diras Keva, but in the rest of the laws of the Torah, we need a house that's a diras keva, is an established structure. Diras keva bu. After there are bottom mode to is be dad amos dad amos diary be inshi below low diary be inshi. But in the rest of the Torah, we need a diras keva and a permanent structure. So the Chachamim would concede that regarding the rest of the laws of the Torah, that one requires a house. We would have a threshold of 4x4 amos, as opposed to Sukkah, which is unique because of Dir Sarai, it's meant to be a temporary dwelling place. Therefore, it has much smaller baseline required dimensions to be a kosher Sukkah. Toby, you have to unmute yourself. Should be able to. Yeah.
I'm sorry, maybe, I apologize because I wasn't here in the last two classes, so everybody else may already have gotten this, but just to clarify in my head, so Shammai is saying that a sukkah could be smaller because 6 or 7 tefachim are smaller than 4x4 amos, but he requires that more be in it.
One more time, please.
In other words, Shammai is saying that a sukkah could be kosher even if it's only 6 or 7 tefachim?
7x7 tefachim, yeah.
Okay, and a tefach is smaller than...
Yeah, tefach's a hamper, and amos is like a foot and a half.
So Shammai is okay with a smaller structure, but requires that more be able to fit in it?
Well...
Because he's saying you have to have the table be able to be in it.
Yeah, but this is like a really small table. This is like a table, like an armrest table, like an armrest kind of table. Like this is not a dining room table that needs to fit there. This is like... you know, think about almost like those, I don't even know what you call them. You see them in shuls all the time. Like these little, like, you know, they're not shtenders really, but kind of you see them like shiva homes also. Like they kind of like these folding.
Like TV dinner tables?
Maybe, is that what they're called?
I don't know.
Like, I think, yeah, maybe.
I'm picturing something like that, something very
yeah, it like folds up and it makes like a little thing. And then sometimes they put like for funerals, put the flowers on top of it. I guess I only know these things in like the, in the context of Avelis, that's when I see.
Well, don't forget, I mean, back in the day, I mean, they sat on the floor
precisely.
And they had little like trays, and that was the
exactly.
table.
So they had a little table. You know, I don't have my Masifta Gemara with me. I should have brought it, but I'll try to remember next time to bring it with me. It has actually a very helpful picture that shows you how what it looks like for someone in theory to be sitting in a sukkah, and it has like this really thin table along the wall, like this thin little strip. And that's what the table was because they reclined back then. It's a good point. So maybe I'm not understanding your question, Ross.
No, and I think you've answered it, but it seemed strange to me that the person who advocated for the smaller sukkah nonetheless was requiring that more be in it. But
well, I mean,
I think what you're saying. It's not a whole lot of stuff.
Well, Beis Shammai is arguing for a bigger sukkah vis-a-vis
a smaller sukkah.
Beis Hillel, in contrast to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says it doesn't even need to accommodate a table. So
right, but is Bez Hillel saying it has to be four amos or seven tefachim?
You know what I should do? I should make a bit of a flow chart over here. Think about it this way. There's two main schools of thought. There's those who say it needs to be four by four amos. That's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Then there's a school of thought, the Chachamim, which says, no, it doesn't. It only needs to be a really small size. And within the second school of thought, there's a debate over the details of, does it need to, I get it's a very small space, but does it need to be just a little bigger to accommodate a table? That's based Shammai. Basil says, no, it could be even a little less. It doesn't need to accommodate a table.
Oh, okay. So that's not, okay. So the Amos dispute has nothing to do with Hillel and Shammai.
I'm glad we clarified that. It's a little confusing. There's the Dalet al Dalet, the 4x4 Amos camp, and then there's the very small sukkah, the extremely small sukkah camp, the Chachamim. And within the Chachamim, there's the debate between Bishai and Beis Hillel, whether it needs to be 7x7 tefachim in order to accommodate a table, or it could be a little smaller, it could be 6x6 tefachim to accommodate and not accommodate a table. Exactly. That's what it comes down to. Yeah, I'm glad we could clarify that. And again, I know for those of us who aren't as familiar with halakhic measurements, it's counterintuitive because you keep hearing 4x4 is bigger than 7x7 because tefachim are smaller units than amos. But yes, 4x4 in this context is bigger because amos are much bigger measurements than tefachim. Okay. Anything else we can clarify? Because I'm glad we clarified that. That's important. Anything else we can clarify? Okay. So we are done with the Gemara section for tonight, but I want to just sprinkle a little bit of supplemental interesting ideas to share with you. One really great one, I really should have opened up with this, is what I left last time from Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. So remember last year we talked about the mitzvah chinuch. Remember we talked about Hilni Hamalka and her sons in the sukkah, just to rehash what was going on over there. So what happened was we have our debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah all the way at the beginning of the Masechta. And Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah can exceed 20 amos. Come and say it could only go until 20 amos. And that's the basic debate in the Mishnah. And then we quoted a brisa which expanded their discussion, in which Rabbi Yehuda said, well, we see that Hilni, Queen Hilni, with her seven sons, it sounds like with her like seven dwarves, their seven sons were in a sukkah that was over 20 amos, and the rabbis didn't complain about it. So if the rabbis didn't say anything about it, presumably they were giving their hechsher to that sukkah. So that was Rabbi Yehuda's proof. But then a chachamim, in that shock of Ataria, the chachamim responded, but Isha Haysim, Tremena Sukkah, who cares? The reason they didn't chastise Hilni Hamalka, they didn't say, actually, it should be shorter, is because Hilni Hamalka was a woman. And Sukkah is a time-bound mitzvah. And she's not obligated in the mitzvah anyway. Now, they go on to say that she had sons, and presumably one of them was at the stage of Chinuch, and that's why, but that's the rest of it. And that assumption in the Gemara that, Hilni Hamalka is a woman, so if she's in the sukkah, that's why they didn't need to correct her and tell her the correct dimensions. There's something a little bit faulty with that assumption. What's that? So, Shemati Lahachos Lashitas Rabbeinu Tam, it's Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. This is like one of the favorites. Shir Rav Shmuel is one of the favorites in like yeshivas, is one of the favorites on like Masechtos. So I got lucky. I don't own my own set of it, but in the Kovetz Mefarshim, useful to have, is what it's what it sounds like. It's Kovetz Mefarshim. It has all the basic Rishonim and basic Achronim, and then a little bit more that you need on a Masechta. So they actually print Rav Shmuel Rozovsky in the back, because apparently he's so popular that it became essential to include him. So he's canonized in the Kovetz Mefarshim. So the Kovetz Mefarshim, so he asked the following, Shemati L'hash L'shitz Rabbeinu Tam, D'Nashim Mevarchos Amitzah Seishas Man Grama. There is a classic debate between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. When women shake lulav and etzro, when women go into a sukkah, do they make a leishev basukkah? So according to Sephardim, they don't. Because how can you say, Asher kisham v'sosav vitzivanu, but they weren't commanded to be in there. So there's something problematic with saying vitzivanu. So women do not make a bracha if they weren't commanded, even if they volunteer the mitzvah. However, according to Ashkenazim, Rabbi Natan says that if they volunteer before the mitzvah, they can say the bracha as well. According to Rabbi Natan and the Ashkenazic camp, we have a question here. So the issue here is that if she's going to be true, Hilni Malka might be putter from being in a kosher sukkah. But if she's going to go in a sukkah and it's not kosher and she's going to volunteer to perform the mitzvah by her own volition, what's she going to do? She's going to make a bracha of leishev basukkah in a posel sukkah. So there is a problem here. There is a problem because she's going to be making a bracha of atala. She's making a blessing in vain because she's not fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda could have retorted and said, I don't even need to talk about her children having the mitzvah chinuch to be in the sukkah. Even she, the Chachamim, should have said something if she was really in a pasul sukkah. Why didn't the Chachamim say anything to stop her from making a birchas leishev in vain? So that's a good question. And you know what? Rosh Shmuel Rutzowski says, some infer from here that according to the Sephardic approach, which is that women are not supposed to make brachos when they voluntarily perform a time-bound mitzvah. Because otherwise, the Chachamim, the Rabbi Huda, and the Slash of Chachamim should have been discussing that very point. So that's something that Rosh Shmuel Rutzowski points out. I thought it was a really interesting offer. Okay. One other thing. You know what? Should I share this? Maybe I'll share this at the beginning of next time. I'm going to end off with a question. Just to whet your appetites for next time. How about that? There is a question in Chashuk Echemim. The question is, if there is someone who I just introduced, because I know a few new people joined this year. There's a number of svarim I like to use. One is Chashuk Echemim. Chashuk Echemim is Rav Zilberstein. He's known for Baharavna, his books al Torah, but he's also known for asking very interesting halacha lemaisa, practical halacha questions that emerge from the Gemara. And I'll just leave you off with the question, and then we'll answer it, God willing, at the beginning of next week. Let's say there is someone who's not Shomer Torah mitzvos, and it's possible for you to start getting the person accustomed to the mitzvah of sukkah. And let's just say it's go with it. It's an odd scenario. Or let's say it's a sukkah that's so small, or that's so small. It's a sukkah that the table extends into the house. For whatever reason, structurally, so it's a kosher sukkah on a d'oraisa level, biblically, but it's a pasul sukkah midrabanan on a rabbinical level, so because of how you set up the table there. So should I get him accustomed to the mitzvah of sukkah, even though he's violating a d'rabanan level, but maybe because he'll be mekayem the mitzvah on a d'oraisa level, I should do that? And that is going to be based on a debate between Tosafot and Rashi about the nature of when I don't fulfill d'rabanan, is it true that I'm still fulfilling a mitzvah, at least on a d'oraisa level? Will God willing elaborate on that one next time? So with that, I bid you adieu. It's wonderful learning together. Thank you all for making the time to log on. God willing, we'll keep the 7:35 time for the next 2 weeks. And I guess the question is, with Pesach coming up, I would hate to miss Gemara Shir 2 weeks in a row, especially just as we're getting started. So my thinking is to do Gemara maybe on Monday night during the weeks of Pesach. I think that makes sense. It's called Moed. That is what I'm proposing. You can think about it for yourself, mull it over if that works. Because it'd be chaval if we missed 2 weeks in a row of learning Gemara together. So that's my suggestion. All right, until then, wishing you all a wonderful Shabbos. Good learning together. Take care.
Rabbi. Thank you.
Good night.